Half Whitey Rammer. This is RSN 927's Breakfast Club.
24 past 8. The Kale name is one of the most important at the Port Adelaide Football Club. It looks like the allegiance and the lineage will continue for another generation with Darren becoming a board member of Port Adelaide late last week. He's back home and he's hanging around with the club that he loves. He joins us on the Breakfast Club this morning. Darren, good morning.
Good morning, boys.
Great to have you on. Congratulations on the appointment. We know you're taking some time off from tennis coaching. Was this always in the back of the mind to get home and have more of an influence and more of an impact with Port Adelaide?
To be honest, not really. I did speak to Koshy a few years ago across from New York, and he did sort of throw the question out there about getting involved with the club at a board level. I've never been on a board before, so the question was a little bit intimidating, but as it worked out, my boy's doing year 12 next year, and the year after he would love to go across to a US college and play some tennis, so next year's a pretty big year for him. So it just coincided with that, with taking a year off coaching, and the time seemed to be right to jump on the board and see if I can give back something back to the club that that I love.
And Darren, you talk about being on the board. You've always been so hands-on, obviously, with any of the athletes that you have coached. Are you going to have any involvement with the playing list? Particularly, I think, obviously, you being a coach of elite athletes for so long, in that mental side of the game?
Look, I don't think so. I think there's a strong line that separates the people on the board to the coaching list and also the playing list. So there's a fine line there that you shouldn't cross over. So I think it's really a bit of a look-and-see period for me, especially the first 6 months or so, to see how the boardroom works. I do a little bit of that anyway. Over the last 5 or 10 years, I've done a little bit of mentoring with the players from Port Adelaide. I actually had Brad Ebert get on the phone to Andre Agassi a few years ago, and Andre spoke to him for a couple of years. So I've tried to use my tennis contacts to help a few of the players along the way. I would always continue to do that if I was asked, but I think you have to respect the line between the board and the coaching list.
Tell us about the link with Port Adelaide, Darren. Obviously, the Kale name is just so famously linked with the club. Yeah. But what about yourself personally?
Well, I'm not that linked. I was a little kid running around in nappies when my dad was coaching and playing there, and my uncle Darrell used to play there as well. And I was the guy that used to hang out the back with his trunk open, the boot of his car open, as he kicked the balls over the fence, and he used to throw the balls in his boot of his car so he could come up and store them back at his house. So I used to run around that club as a kid. I was actually born on grand final day, boys, in 1965, and my dad played for Port Adelaide against Sturt. So there's a bit of history there. We were grown up with black and white in our blood. It's been a remarkable club and certainly something that I've really built my coaching and playing career on, the history and the heritage that the club had, and a lot of the lessons that my dad sort of taught the guys over the years is certainly the way that I coach my tennis players these days. So the club itself is in our family. It always has been, and with Dad's history at Port Adelaide, and also he spent a couple of years across at Collingwood, which I thought was amazing as well, to get a look at the VFL. He came back and then coached Port Adelaide again after that. I do remember the only time I've only cried at a sporting event was when I was about 10 or 11 years of age in 76 when Port lost to Sturt. It was my dad's first grand final as a coach for Port Adelaide, and back then we were expected to win. I do remember that night, actually. He got the VHS tape and he disappeared for a couple of hours. And that night he was locked himself in a room and he was watching the tape of the match. And I went in there as a 10-year-old. I said, "What the hell are you doing?" And he said, "I'm just making sure this never happens again." And so, you know, great lessons to be learned as a youngster growing up in that family, for sure.
He must have been a good review. He went on to win 10.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I don't think he lost another grand final, actually, so it worked out pretty well. But he had some good teams back in those days.
So the black and white and the, you know, prison bar jumper of Port Adelaide obviously was the jumper that your dad would have worn and coached with when in his time. Yep. The teal, yep. Now, how does the teal sit with you?
It's okay. It's a new heritage, a new era, a new history for the club. I think that the new generation coming through now for the last 20 years, that's what they've grown up with. And in another 20 years or so, it'll be even more relevant to the generations growing up. So I have no problem with that. You know, I think that there's a place for Port Adelaide as a club. And I'm just speaking as a fan here, certainly not as a board member because I haven't started. But I think there's a place every now and then to bring the heritage back and wear the old Guernsey. But I don't think it's a regular thing. And I think the two jumpers both will create an enormous amount of history in the black and white bars jersey always has, and it's time for the black, white and teal to do the same thing.
You've said that you'll take some time off from your tennis coaching to spend some more time with your family. You've had such great success, and recently, of course, with Simona Halep, who won the French Open in June. How difficult is it to walk away when you're so closely connected and you live with these people day in, day out?
Yeah, tough. Yeah, I've got to admit, it's going to get tougher as well as the Aussie Open comes along. And you know, I've already seen all these players doing their pre-seasons and getting ready for the Aussie summer. So definitely extremely difficult because, as you guys know, the next best thing to playing is actually coaching. And I've been really lucky over the last 20 years. I've had three great players that I've worked individually with, in Leighton, Andre, and now Simona for the last 4 years. So to walk away from that is a difficult thing, but obviously being on the road 35 weeks a year for the last 20 years, it is tough on the family as well. We've made a lot of sacrifices in that, and I have a great wife that has put up with me, and certainly time, especially next year, to make sure that Benjamin, my boy, gets the best opportunity to go off to a US college, and then we'll see what happens in 12 months.
Well, I was going to ask that, Darren. You're away 35 weeks of the year. When do you think you'll get bored at home next year?
In a month, more than likely. That's not really the question. It's when my wife will get bored of me being at home. So that's more the question. I dare say in a couple of months, she's going, okay, enough. Yeah, come on, get out of here.
Hey, we spoke to you when Simona won the French Open. I must confess, one of the best interviews we've had at any point in the year, because you were so insightful in what you said about Simona. When you look back at the three that you coached, who are you most proud of in being able to get the best out of them? Or is that too difficult?
Yeah, well, a little bit, only because they are three different stages of their careers. And Leighton was a sponge, and there's only one Leighton Hewitt, and he was quite polarizing, as everybody knows, as a youngster. And I worked with him from 12 years of age through to 21. So to see a young fella from Adelaide, Australia, do exactly what he did on the tour and go to number one in the world and win the US Open, you know, I was eyes wide open most of that time. And it was my first coaching gig as well. So for me, it was a great learning experience. And then a venture across to one of the greatest players of all time. And I have 1,000 stories about Andre and what his life was like and how great he is and what he's done for charitable organisations since he's retired playing. He's an amazing man. But I got to say, the work the last 3 years with Simona has been the most emotional. I think that seeing where she's from, her parents don't speak a word in English, so we kind of communicate via sign language with her mum and dad. And just seeing the struggles that she's had, the emotional struggles, the ups and downs, the kicks to the stomach that she's had, being so close to winning majors and not quite getting there, even before I came along, and knowing the person that she is, and maybe being female a little bit as well, made a big difference to that, just wanting it so badly. So, yeah, I can't remember what I said in that interview, but I was probably pretty emotional because it meant a lot to me and certainly meant a lot to her. And that moment when she won that Roland Garros trophy will be maybe my best and most cherished tennis memory for sure.
Yeah, I think the thing that stood out was just the way you talked about how to almost daring her to go out and win it I just think the stuff you said that day was fantastic. I know we got a great reaction from our listeners as well.
It was that good, Darren. We're going to play it in our summer series when we're on holidays.
Actually, I do remember that because I think I mentioned that I took a different tack, right?
Yes.
Exactly. And that was true. And a lot of the time she was the type of player that wanted me to take the pressure off her before she went on to play. So I did that a little bit, but before the final, and I threw all the pressure on her shoulders and gave her the big spiel about this is it, this is the time. And maybe it's never going to happen again and you have to go out there and really go after this like it's your final chance. And she did that. She took the challenge. She was great emotionally on the court. Over the years, it's been well documented that we've had a little bit of problems with her attitude on the court, and I actually left her about a year and a half ago to see if I could try to fix her or shock her into fixing that attitude. And by coincidence, that match she played against Sloane Stephens, she was down a set and a break, was the only match, I think, in the whole 4 years that I've been with her where she didn't look up to me and say one word. She basically just played tennis. So I was really proud of the way she handled that pressure.
Well, you've accepted the challenge with the board position at Port Adelaide. I know if I was one of the players, I'd be booking in a couple of coffees along the journey to tap into your mind, Darren. Good luck. Hope you enjoy the ride, and we'll look forward to seeing how the power go in 2019.
Beauty, boys. Thanks. Anytime.
Good stuff. Darren Kale.